back to the IIS show, it version number two. Today I brought with me developer celebrity Rick Strahl from Westwind Technologies. I've been running some IIS7 preview events at Microsoft lately, and Rick attended one recently, and I thought it would be really a great idea to talk to him about what he thought about IIS7 and what it means to developers. So, Rick, why don't you tell people a little bit about what you do and your background?
Well, I run a small company called Westwind Technologies in Hawaii. We do mostly developer tools, some for web applications, some for standard desktop development. Also do training and mentoring for customers, mostly in the web area, as well as distributed application development. So we've been working with IIS for a long time with various of our products. There's a couple of application server products that we have that interface with IIS at a fairly low level. So this event has been kind of interesting because it opens up a whole bunch of opportunities potentially for the future.
So what kinds of applications, what kinds of things and technologies with IIS have you been like deeply engaged with? I noticed you cornering some of the developers at PDC, getting into some deep dive content around, was it COM you were talking about there?
It's iSAPI and COM, actually, yeah. Well, lately, a lot of my focus has been on ASP.NET because obviously ASP.NET is the emerging technology that is the most exciting because it provides a bunch of functionality that it just makes development a hell of a lot easier than it is using iSAPI. But as I mentioned, we publish a tool that is actually iSAPI based and it interfaces in COM, and as you might expect, it's very difficult to maintain that application.
Right.
And building that code and making changes to it every time I have to open up Visual Studio to make some code changes in the C++ code, you know, I'd rather go to the dentist.
Yeah, I heard that. So you're deeply involved with IIS5 and IIS6 technologies and COM and iSAPI interaction and scalability issues as well as reliability and development and debugging. This is the whole breadth that it takes, and then the improvements with ASP.NET. Now that you've seen IIS7, what draws your attention? Like where do you think would be, like if you got your hands on IIS7 today, what would be the first thing you would start to do?
I figured you'd ask that. And there's actually a lot of things. I think as a developer, the obvious place is the integrated pipeline. Being able to run managed code anywhere in the pipeline sounds really, really exciting. And being able to plug in existing modules, ASP.NET modules, and HTTP handlers as is, that sounds really exciting. There's just so many things that opens up that I wanted to do maybe in the past with iSAPI extensions, but it was too much of a hassle to do it. Now you can actually, it looks like anyway, since I don't have my hands on it just yet,
yeah.
It looks like you'd just be able to sit down and write a relatively small amount of code and be able to plug in authentication, be able to do things at a very low level that were just really difficult to do previously. So previously you had to write, for example, iSAPI filters to do authentication or to do custom URL filtering, redirection, and things like that.
Right.
And that becomes very, very easy to do and manage code because all the tools are there. And just having the .NET framework at your disposal to do those sort of things sound really exciting.
Right. So just to bring listeners up to speed a little bit, or I shouldn't say up to speed like you're not, but to inform you of the way what he's talking about here is with IIS7, the IIS team has taken the capabilities of the server, like authentication, static file handling, iSAPI handling, CGI, all of that, and broken them down into 40-some-odd modules that you can then load or unload individually as you like via config file, application host config, and also at a site or application level via web.config files. And this gives you the ability to remove modules that you don't like or don't use, and add in modules that you want to in order to support your application, like static file handling. Or if you want to write your own modules, you can do that in native code or in managed code. That goes right into the IIS7 core and makes that functionality available to everybody. And I think one of the key things you said is that if you're writing IHTTP handlers now in ASP.NET, that becomes a module that you can plug in IS7 and make it available for all content, not just .NET content.
Correct.
And that's, I mean, when I start thinking about that, it's just sort of like, wow. And then we can do forms authentication for PHP or CGI or any Java applications. We can use .NET applications. I start thinking, what else can we do? You know, what other kinds of handlers are people writing?
Well, there's a bunch of stuff. One thing that I actually have a couple of applications that are sort of content management and for pay services. So some of the things we do is we need to restrict directory access to certain directories. So one part of that application, for example, this is something that I've been doing with modules, but it's a pain in the butt to set up at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's much easier. So what we do actually is we have a directory set up for demos where people can go to and actually view all the content, but they're images.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually overlay content on top of it. We'll write sample on top of it with GDI Plus or something. And you can do this today with modules, but it requires a fair amount of setup to do that. You basically have to map all the extensions that you want. Now, in the new pipeline, you should just be able to plug your module in, and it will automatically pick up all the files, and then you can, inside of that module, check what kind of content you actually want to work on, and then automatically do that. So no more, all the configuration options and all the mappings go away, and you can just go ahead and you know, do all the checking that you need to do in your code. Everything will hit that code, and that's very powerful.
That sounds great. I'm trying to collect like all the things that people are interested in doing with, you know, at the global level. Because you could do, I mean, with the modularity of IS7, you can basically make available to all the websites on the server all different kinds of functionality, and the applications don't even have to be necessarily even aware of that functionality. You just add the website, and suddenly they pick up the capability of the module that you've added at the global level. And that's a lot of power.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to see. I mean, I have a few reservations in terms of, well, until we get our hands on it anyway.
Right.
In terms of seeing what all of that does to performance, I think there's the potential that people can really screw around and do things that they shouldn't be doing because,
well, right.
You know, managed code is slower than unmanaged code. And, you know, if it hits on every request, that will affect your static files and whatnot. So there's potential to really slow the server down. So you have to be careful as well.
Well, right. As you say, everything takes a judicious use of the technology. And I know the IIS team is aware of those concerns and is working on them to mitigate any of those issues as well as they can. So those are valid concerns, and we're looking at them real hard. So I really appreciate you taking your time to come out and meet with us, and hopefully we can get you a version of IS7. Now, for those of you that were at PDC or have access to the beta sites in Microsoft, the 5219 build does have IS7 in it, and you can take a look there. And of course, it will be more broadly available with Beta 2 whenever Longhorn Beta 2 goes live, and we're hopefully that will be by the end of the year. And you can keep listening to this little show for some more details, and I'll be posting information as it becomes available. So thanks a lot, Rick. I appreciate you showing up.
Thanks, Brett.